All right, church family, let's grab a seat and get in God's Word together. Today we are going to be in Matthew 11:28. We've been there before. We're going to look at it again today. And the title is Rest and Relationships. Rest and Relationships. Several weeks back, we looked at the entire Gospel of Matthew in 7 points. And today we're going to look at one verse in 4 points, all right? Things we do here at Harvest, always in God's Word. And rest and relationships is what we're after today. Toward the end of this sermon, I'm going to talk about summer calendar and intent with that toward rest and relationships. And then we'll talk about sabbatical a little bit as well toward the end of the sermon. So I want to start today by asking this personal question. Don't answer, all right? Just this personal question. What signals does your body give when you are anxious and heavy laden? All right, what signals does your body give when you are anxious and heavy laden? So here's just a list of some examples. Increased heart rate or increased blood pressure. Maybe a nap without knowing it, right? A nap without knowing it. Has that ever happened to y'all? Someone that you love is like, you were just asleep for 3 minutes. No, I wasn't. Yes, I was. Yes, you were. All right, next is sweating in weird places, right? Another one, eye twitching. Does that ever happen to y'all? Just last week, both of my eyes were twitching at the same time. And that was the first time in my life. I'm like, well, this is new, Lord, right? Right? Another one would be spiraling thoughts. You know, you just get there and you just can't stop it, right? Another one would be increased temptations when you're anxious, when you're heavy laden. And another one would be tensed muscles, right? That's probably one of the most common, is tensed muscles. So the question is, what do you do when your body gives you those signals? What do you do? And if all of these signals are going to be coming at us for the rest of our lives because our bodies work with the environment that we're in and inform us about how we feel, what we're going through, if that's going to be the case for the rest of our lives, is there any way that we can mitigate that? Is there any way that we can rest a bit? Is there any way that the Lord would relieve some of this? We know that we can't achieve heaven here. We know we can't achieve like no burdens, not being heavy laden, but we know that that's coming. But here with the Lord, these things can massively be alleviated. And so I want to point us toward that today because I recognize that all of us are laboring. All of us are heavy laden in one way or another. And if not right now, certainly soon. It's just the reality of living in a broken world. And so today, we're going to look at Matthew 11:28, and we will see that Jesus straight up levels with us because he knows that we labor and are heavy laden. And I think one thing we saw in the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus knows who we are, he knows exactly what we feel, he knows exactly what we're going through, and he ministers to us within all of that. So we see today, again, that Jesus is our help. Right, so the big idea from this passage today, from this verse today, is this. Rest and relationships are daily gifts from Jesus for your well-being. Rest and relationships, those two things, are daily gifts from Jesus for what? For your well-being. And can we be well? Can we be well? And the answer to that is yes. Even in the midst of the difficult things, we can be well, so a question is, if these are daily gifts from Jesus, which he's given us, the question then is, are you opening them? Right? Are you opening them? Are you opening them on a daily basis? And then a big question is, what do they include? Like if these things come from Jesus and he'll give them to me, then what do they include? And so we'll look at those today as we unpack this verse. So the points today are the verse in four parts. All right. I just took the verse, broke it up into four parts, and we're gonna look at each one. So the first one is from Jesus, come to me. Okay, so he says, whole verse, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So first point today, come to me. So here's the context of Matthew 11. Matthew 11, as we look at the chart 2 weeks back, it's in the section about kingdom treasure. And the thing about Jesus that we're learning there is Jesus is our rest. So he's saying within this, come to me. We see in Matthew 11, Matthew 10, that there are lost and weary people in this world, and it's full of us. lost and weary people, distressed by life and this world and needing an answer. And then also in that context, we see that the disciples too are distressed by life and this world, but added on top of that is ministry burdens. So we as believers are in the world and stressed by that, and we're distressed by life, but then we have ministry added to that. So it's almost like there's a third thing that's added that's difficult. And so we see the disciples too are in this category needing an answer from the Lord. What do we do with these labors and heavy burdens that we have? So on the heels of people not turning to Jesus also, though they need to, Jesus speaks into this. He also is speaking into this on the heels of praying acknowledgement that God knows who will trust him. So Jesus gives this invitation. On the heels of all of that, in the context of all of that, he gives this invitation, come to me. And I just want all of us to hear that. Those are three words. And in those three words, answers the what to do and the who to go to. You see that? The what to do and the who to go to. It's so simple. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Sometimes amidst the overwhelm, we don't go anywhere, right? We just freeze. We just keep handling stuff the way that we have and the way that we know how to. And we're like, I'm so overwhelmed right now. I don't have any margin. I don't know if I have time to come to Jesus. And he's saying, come to me. What we tend to do is we stay in the distress, we stay in the anxiety, we stay in the incessant labors, we stay in the worries, we even stay in the worldly systems that don't save or help. And so Jesus comes and he's speaking from a position outside of the worldly system, though he came into the worldly system to teach us this. Speaking from outside of that worldly system, he says, come to me. Just come to Jesus. And it's so simple. It's one action, and that's the word come, and then it's one bullseye, and that's Jesus. These are not complicated instructions. These are not complicated instructions, right? So our family just got some rocking chairs, all right? Those rocking chairs are still in the box, the big box. It's like this tall. It's in our living room, and you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to assemble those rocking chairs. You know why? Because I'm going to have to deal with the cardboard, and I'm going to have to deal with the styrofoam, and then one of those boxes isn't going to have the hardware, and then one of them isn't going to have the hardware to attach the hardware and all of that, and it's going to be complicated instructions, and I might just guess and try to do it without the instructions, right? Yeah. Right? It's great. And life is full of these complicated instructions. Do this. Or we think something is complicated, so the answer to that complicated thing must also be complicated. And Jesus is saying here very simply, not complicated. Come to me. He's saying, come to me. So y'all, when you're laboring, when you're heavy laden, what do I do? You come to Jesus. Again. To what or to whom do you normally go? For you, who is that or what is that? When you're laboring, when you're heavy laden, what is it that you normally go to? For me, I go to food. But I'm a weirdo, so I go to healthy food. Right? I'll go to healthy food or I'll go to exercise, but you know what? Even the healthy things are not enough. Or I don't have the energy to exercise because I'm so heavy laden. And so even the good things are not enough. We need an easy action. Jesus knows this. We need a bullseye. Jesus knows this, and that action and that bullseye is come to Jesus. In these three words is our primary relationship. Title today is Rest in Relationship. So in these three words is our primary relationship, and who is that? It's Jesus. Come to him. Bullseye, come to him. And y'all, listen, if Jesus is inviting us, which he is, then we need not be sheepish about coming to him. You need not be sheepish about coming to Jesus. He is saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you're thinking, but I've screwed up so much, or it's been so long since I've come, or this thing is so complicated, or Lord, I'll come to you after I get through this next burst of trying really hard. And Jesus is saying in the midst of that, come to me. right? So what's next? All. Come to me, all. Right? One word, point two, one word, the word all. And the reason I made this just one word point is I want us to understand that you are included in the word all, you individually, right? Would you agree? If he's saying, come to me all, are you included in that? Absolutely. You are individually. And then think, Jesus is saying this to a group of people. He's saying this to a group of people who are lost. He's saying this to a group of disciples who are growing in him, and some of which may at this point be saved. And so he's not only saying this to individuals, come to me, you. He's saying, come to me, you all. Or in Southern, come to me, y'all, right? And so I think we understand here that as we read the scriptures, so many of these yous are plural, come to me, all. So we come to him individually, but we also come to him as a group. We come to him as families. We come to him as friends. We come to him as church family. And that's the second relationship here. First relationship is Jesus. Second relationship is our church family. So Jesus is saying, come to me, harvest. Come to me, all. Small group leaders, help us toward this on a weekly basis. Let's gather together and let's be in God's word and let's be in prayer and let's care for one another and let's get updates and just long form updates over time about who we are and what God's doing in our lives. Charles and the worship team lead us through this coming to Jesus all on a weekly basis. We all come to Jesus together. It's why we walked through those doors today. It's not like we're coming to harvest or we're coming to the 10:45 service. We're coming to Jesus together, to be refreshed by him again, to be in his word again, to pray, to sing songs about the gospel and the resurrection again, together to Jesus again, together in song, together in his word, together in prayer, together in care for one another. Come to me, all. It's what we're doing right now, and it's awesome, and it is so refreshing for all of us as we do it. Come to me, all. And then next, who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all, who labor and are heavy laden. So just as all includes you and includes us, so does who labor and are heavy laden include your particular, unique labor and situation that is making you heavy laden. You are not excluded from this verse, and your situation that is heavy is not excluded from this verse. A friend texted me the other week. He was going through something hard, and he texted to me, being human is hard. And he's going through something hard. And I looked at that text, and I just thought, that is where he's at right now. And then I thought, that's where all of us are at. Being human is hard. We are in a broken, dying world. And being human is hard. And part of the curse in Genesis 3 is that working the ground now includes thorns and thistles, right? Adam was working. He was using his mind and his body and all the skills God had given him to work the ground, but that was pre-fall. So work isn't bad, but man, work with all the thorns and thistles and the difficulties of his life, that comes from the curse. Every task is difficult. And add to this that we work a lot, like capital letters, a lot. We work a lot, and we are loaded with distractions and have more knowledge of the depravity of humanity and the brokenness in this world than we've ever had before. So not only are we aware of like what's hard in our lives and in the lives in our immediate circle, we're also aware of what is messed up and broken and depraved like on the other side of the world right now, and all of us could find it on our phones in 30 seconds. And it overwhelms us. So the level of burden and heaviness and Lord, can anything change is on us. And so what's Jesus's message? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. The who here includes all of us, all of us. It includes all of our labors, all of our heavy ladenness. So Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. And then here's what coming to Jesus, all who labor and are heavy laden, produces. All right, and I just want to pause and think with you. What does coming to Jesus, all who labor and are heavy laden, what does that produce? And here's the answer. Jesus says, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. What a product. Do y'all realize that that's a promise from Jesus? He says, and I will give you rest. Right? Some of us are good at trusting other people when they're like, I promise, right? And some of us are like, I don't trust anybody, right? And then, but when Jesus promises something, y'all, we can trust him. And if he's saying, I will give you rest when you come to me, when you are heavy laden and burdened, if he says he will give us rest, then he will. Jesus promises he will give you rest. So, what kind of rest, right? Well, I mean, Jesus, is he just talking about like, Jesus got a bunch of airline and hotel points? He's going to hook us up with those things? Like, what kind, is he talking about vacation here? Is he talking about recliners here? What is he talking about? And I just want to say, for many of us, getting away is absolutely vital, right? When we planted Harvest 13 years ago, those first few years, it was terrifying to me when anybody took a vacation, because I'm like, there goes some of our serving teams, and man, I want to be around these people, and like, I miss it. But the longer I've been a pastor, the more I'm like, go on vacation. Like, get out of Dodge. Pry yourself off of all the things here and all of your responsibilities and go rest and stretch your eyes and stare at the sky or stare at the trees and get with the Lord and rest, vacate, right? I'm celebrating it. So y'all just hear from your pastor. He told me to go on vacation, right? Like, rest. I think part of the reason is we just got to pry ourselves off of our obsessions here and learn that it'll be okay. It'll be okay. The rest that Jesus gives has with it three things, and these are like the big trio of things that Jesus provides for us, and those three things are peace, hope, and joy. So think about that. The rest that Jesus gives, how you can know that it's rest from Jesus, you're getting peace and hope and joy from those things. So I love going home at the end of the day, and we've worked hard, and we have an awesome family dinner, and we go on a walk or something like that, and then it's like recliner time, and turn on the Hurricanes game, and watch the Hurricanes game. And you know what? Those things, it is restful, but it's not providing for me peace and hope and joy. If they win, it provides some joy. If they win, it provides some hope. But you know what? Those things are gone in 5 minutes or a week. And so obviously the rest that Jesus is talking about is deep peace and deep hope and deep joy. And only Jesus' rest includes those things. So what does Jesus mean when he says rest, right? Rest that Jesus gives, he gives you four things through those, okay? We've already talked about peace, hope, and joy. That's easy to remember. And then this list is brought to you by the letter R, all right? So here you go. First, what Jesus gives through rest is he redeems your soul. He redeems your soul. That is far and away the biggest type of rest that he gives you. So if you're here today or you're watching today and you are dead in your sins and you are guilty before God because you are unforgiven before God, Jesus will give you rest with God by forgiving you your sins, and you can rest before the Lord and be forgiven. And so place your faith in Jesus and be saved. Jesus redeems your soul. And one of the things that, as we are so frazzled and wired by everything in this world, just to come back and be like, you know what? The most important thing is set. Even if nothing else is set, and I don't even see if anything else could be set, at least it is well with my soul. He redeems your soul. Rest, right? Next, he refreshes your spirit. He refreshes your spirit. Y'all, the other night, I was heavy laden with something, and I went on a walk. I'm like, I'm just going to go around the block, and around the block would be like 8 minutes, right? I needed more than around the block. So I did like a 2+ mile walk, and I'm just praying. I needed more refreshment. I'm like, one block ain't going to do it right now. I need more refreshment than one block walk can get for me. And so I'm just prayer walking. Y'all, it was hot. I'm in jeans, t-shirt, sandals. People are like, who is this dude? Just walking by himself, right? I didn't have AirPods in. I didn't have a dog. It's just me. I'm like you know, burning up, but I'm walking so slow. I just needed to be refreshed with the Lord. I needed to talk to him about some stuff. I needed him to refresh my spirit, and he did. The third thing is that he reassures your future. This is a big deal. This is one of the reasons we are heavy laden, is we're like, what does the future hold? And he reassures our future. He gets our eyes back on heaven is ahead no matter what if you're in Christ. This is not heaven. This world is broken, dying, disease, all of that. Heaven is ahead. Run the race marked out for you. Be faithful. Heaven is ahead. And then he reminds us we can cease all the worrisome striving. We can cease borrowing from tomorrow's worries. He reassures our future. He reassures us that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Never, meaning today and meaning tomorrow and meaning forever. He reassures us. And then the fourth one is he resets your lifestyle. He resets your lifestyle. And by that, we just mean priorities, right? Like Jesus first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Seek first his righteousness. So Jesus first, and then family and close people around you, your network of people, and then work, and then and mix all of that is the church and Jesus' people that he's sovereignly, wonderfully given you. I read this week in a great book that our elders are reading. I read a line that said, slowing down is faith. And I was thankful I was reading slow enough where I could pick up that line, right? Slowing down is faith. And I thought, man, that's true of me. So I'm like underlining it, circling it, starring it, dog-earing the page, just to come back to those four words, slowing down is faith. I think probably for a lot of us, slowing down is faith. Some of us need to speed up, right? But I think overwhelmingly, slowing down is faith. So I want to share the whole verse again with you, and then I'm going to make a comment about something I observed about this verse this week after that. So the whole verse says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Promise from the Lord. I want you to notice that there isn't another step after that. It's not like you come to Jesus and you're in the huddle together. He's like, all right, you're laboring and heavy laden, and he gets you all fired up. And then he's like, 3, 2, 1, break. And you break and you go back at it. And then you're full tilt right back doing all the mess you were doing before, anxious again. He doesn't want us to break huddle. There's no, all right, now leave and go back. It's come to Jesus and stay there. Rather, we live in this rest. In fact, Jesus next says that he yokes up with us to help us in our labors, which includes setting our pace. He says his yoke is easy compared to this world's. So reading these verses, you're like, my new headline here is, I've come to Jesus and I ain't leaving. This isn't like a have a quiet time and then go do your day. Like, yes, read the word and pray and have a concentrated time of that. But that doesn't mean leave huddle. That means you're in the huddle all day. Jesus is still yoked up with you all day. You're still at rest in the Lord because he's with you. That's what he's doing. He's calling the masses and he's calling individuals to come to him and rest, even amidst our lives as we're going. I think our picture of rest is still. Our picture of rest is quiet. Our picture of rest is not doing anything. Jesus's picture of rest is you're yoked up with him doing work in this world, but you're not anxious. But you're not worried, but you're not heavy laden. Why? Because of Jesus. That's what he's showing us. And what I want to do in these next few moments is help us apply this to not only our lives, but particularly this summer so that we can practice it as a church. And the title of the sermon today, Rest in Relationships, is the theme of our summer. Our theme is still disciple, but we want to be after intentionally rest and relationships this summer, knowing that rest and relationships are daily gifts from Jesus for your well-being. All right, so I'll show you a summer calendar here in just a second, but here's our summer intent. Personally, for each of you, for each of us, I want us all to just come to Jesus and find rest, like this kind. do that. Like, this isn't something you just, you can start today or like continue the way you've already done it. But like deep rest, peace, hope, joy, right? Right? Redemption and refreshment and reassurance and the reset. Get those from the Lord. Like, how do you need to stay in the huddle with Jesus, right? Go after that this summer and never leave. Right? And then as a church, we want to be after this too, rest and relationship. So the calendar this summer is restful and geared toward getting to know all of the amazing people that Jesus has brought, right? Number one, relationship, the Lord. Number two, relationship is the church, which includes you and yours, right? So every week, this is not an exaggeration, every week I hear one of you say to me, I have no idea who all of these people are, right? I don't know these people, right? And that's people that have been here for 6 months, it's people that have been here for 13 years, I don't know these people, and I can tell you, the people here that you do not know yet are fantastic, right? I don't even know some of you really well yet. I just want y'all to know, everybody here is fantastic, and I want to encourage you, build relationships this summer. Build relationships. And so the calendar has some means for you to do that. So here's the calendar for the summer, and we'll get this to you. Small group leaders have this and can share it with you this evening. So June 3rd, coming up, you've already heard about this one. This is 9 to 12:30 is the class, How to Study the Bible, that Pastor Ronnie's teaching. So come to that. Man, there's a way to rest is come and get in God's word, right? Come and get in God's word and learn how to do that well. Next, June 11th, 5 to 8 p.m. is, what are you laughing at? What's wrong? Oh yeah, pool wet, pool table. We're getting to that. We're not there. That's men's event. Come, hold please. All right, next. All right, June 11th, 5 to 8 p.m., church picnic at North Carolina Museum of Art. Y'all, we did this last year. It was epic. It was so fun. People, you bring your own food, you bring a blanket, you bring chairs, you bring frisbees, you bring cornhole. Last year, there was a banjo that was brought. I mean, like, who knows? We might have like a string quartet coming this year, right? It was so fun. And just hanging out and playing. If you're more of a sit around and chat person, if you're more run and play and try to catch Charles Sue, because he is so ridiculously fast when we're playing Ultimate Frisbee or whatever, if you're more of that person, do that, all right? So that's coming. Next, June 17th, apparently what y'all saw and laughed at. June 17th, men's cookout coming 11 to 3 at Jason McGinnis's house. Going to be a great time. Food, there's a pool wet, and then there's pool table. So come for that. Ping pong, darts, all of that. Lots of fun. And Jason McGinnis knows a pool table game called Sniper. You should get him to teach you that. It's fantastic. Then, not on the list, but very important, June 19th through the 25th is our student mission trip. And as y'all know, students are going to Atlanta this summer to serve the food insecure and do a VBS. It's going to be fantastic, so be praying for them. June 20th is a worship night from 7 to 8:30. So that, usually we do nights geared more a little more toward prayer. This one will be geared a little more toward worship. So June 20th, 7 to 8:30. And then July 21st through the 22nd is women's gather groups. So ladies, that's your chance. I know many of you have been to those. Friday night, Saturday morning, pick one. Let us know the slot that works best. And Kate and Amy will wonderfully get you plugged into a group at a woman's home. And you'll go through some really encouraging questions to stir up great conversation and fellowship. I hear they're great. Never been to one, obviously. All right. So next. I want to share with you some details about our sabbatical this summer. So sabbatical starts tomorrow morning or, depending on who you're asking, at 12:16 p.m. this afternoon, okay? Tim's going to share more about this in just a minute, but sabbatical is it's a long-form, deep rest. That's what it is. And it is a wonderfully generous gift of our elders to me and to our family, and we're so thankful for. I know all of y'all are, but our family is so thankful for great elders. I know y'all know this. Being a pastor is nonstop, and the burdens are big, and the self-control it takes to not keep doing more and try to help more is really hard to have that self-control. We have amazing elders who care not only about quality of ministry here, but also about me and my health and longevity in ministry, and sabbatical helps support those things, and we're really grateful for that. So Vanessa and I have discussed this since the fall. We plan to be here at worship services this summer when we're in town. And we might slip in and slip out, so don't think we're total bums, like getting here late on purpose like all of y'all do, right? I mean, what? What? Maybe we get here early. That might be. Anyway, so we rest. We noticed last sabbatical, we just like totally were away, thinking that my gears are just going to turn back on for everything. But we want to be here because this is our church family, and we're members here, and we have spiritual gifts here, just like all of you are. Those of you are members here and have spiritual gifts. Like, this is our church family. This I know. Like, we helped plant this church with those of you on the core team, but like, this isn't a job for me. This is our church family. I just have a spiritual gift from Jesus to do this and to lead, and so we want to be around our church family. But if y'all come at me with the following line, I know you're on sabbatical, but I am gonna run. And no joke, dozens of people over the last 2 weeks have said to me, can I be your bouncer during sabbatical? Or can we, you know, create a hedge of protection around you? Just kidding, no one ever said hedge of protection, but we do want to be here. The question is, who's leading this summer? And the answer to that is our great elders and staff. It's the same people that are always leading, just without me for the summer. So it's going to be great. Our church continued to grow spiritually and even numerically during our last sabbatical, so it's all good. It's all good. We came back from last sabbatical, and people were like, Mike, things are great without you. I'm like, all right, okay, do I still have a job, right? And then, all right, next question is, who is preaching, and what are we preaching? So who is preaching? Tim Horton's going to preach 4 times. Ronnie's going to preach 4 times. And then some of our elders are preaching in addition to Tim. Jason Kennedy's going to preach once. Kenny Perry's going to preach once. CJ Davis, who brings it in our classes, some of our classes, is preaching once. And then Dr. Tate Cockrell is going to preach once. And Dave Harvey, who's the president of Great Commission Collective, he's going to be here at the end of June preaching once as well. So great lineup. And then what are we preaching? What are we going through? This summer, we're going through 2 Timothy. And so the elders are just going to go straight through elders, and CJ and Ronnie are going to go straight through the book of 2 Timothy, which really fits disciple, it really fits church health, really follows Matthew well. So that's coming, and Tim will get us started with that this coming Sunday. So y'all can be praying for those preachers, okay? So listen, just on behalf of me, Vanessa, our kids, we love y'all. We say every week you are loved, and that doesn't just represent our feelings for you, it represents our feelings toward one another as the church, and also Jesus's feelings toward us. But really, we love you. You are loved. It is a privilege to serve this church and to servant lead this church, and we're going to miss being around you as much as we normally are, but we're really thankful for this rest, and Lord willing, we'll come back raring to go, but hopefully raring to go in the like huddle with Jesus sense, right? Rest in relationships, yoke up with him. So let me pray. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for Matthew 11:28. We thank you, Jesus, that you came here into the midst of the brokenness, and you from your outsider sense say, come to me, but you came all the way to us, and you said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and you promised it, you'll give us rest. And so God, right now, I pray over every single person here and every group of people that's represented within this gathering today, and then our whole gathering as well, our whole church, that individuals, that groups, that our whole church would come to you, Lord Jesus, and that once we come to you, we wouldn't leave, and we would hold one another accountable to that. Let's not leave. Let's stay here. Let's enjoy the peace and the hope and the joy that you give us, Lord. Let's enjoy the redemption that we have, the refreshing of our spirit, the reset that you provide, the reassurance of our future. Let's enjoy those together. And let's wind down our anxieties. Let's wind down our tenseness. We know they're coming, but Lord, would you minimize them? Because we are better and better at yoking up with you and trusting the rest and relationship that you've provided for us. Lord, we love you. If there's anybody here who is still yet unsaved, I pray they would place their faith in you right now for the forgiveness of their sins and be delivered for all eternity back to you, their creator. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for never leaving nor forsaking us. Thank you for being our chief shepherd. It's in your name, Lord Jesus, and by the power of your Spirit, we pray.